It was the morning of February 4, 2006, and around 30,000 people were eagerly waiting outside the Ultra Stadium in Pasig City, Metro Manila. They were there for the staging of their favorite noontime TV game show's first anniversary episode later that afternoon. Some of them had camped outside for days, hoping for a chance to win cash prizes from the show. But it wasn't instant riches that changed their lives entirely that day. Dozens of them even lost their lives. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify. This is the story of the Ultra Stampede, a tragedy that resulted in the death of 74 people and injury of hundreds more. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic and sensitive nature of this story. Filipinos love a good noontime television variety show to tune into while having lunch with family or simply while taking a break from household chores or office work. Today, the average Filipino watches either Itbulaga or It's Showtime, the noontime variety shows of rival TV networks GMA and ABS-CBN respectively, which have both been on the air for more than a decade. Before ABS-CBN's It's Showtime came along, the network had in its noontime slot the game show Wow Wow Wee, which premiered on February 5, 2005. Hosted by comedian Willie Revillame, the show aired live on weekdays and Saturdays and was also broadcast internationally through ABS-CBN's The Filipino Channel or TFC. Wow Wow Wee proved to be incredibly popular, with audience members vying for a chance to win thousands of pesos in its games. One of the show's most well-known segments was called Cash Moto, which involved a randomly selected audience member entering a capsule with Philippine peso bills flying around inside. The audience member would be given 1 minute to grab as much money in the air as they could, which they get to keep afterwards. Another well-known segment was Hep Hep Hooray, in which a microphone was placed in front of a random player's face on stage, and that player has to either clap their hands together below their waist while saying Hep Hep or raise their hands in the air while saying Hooray, depending on which part of the cheer their turn landed on. While the goal was to be the last person standing on stage to win the top prize, contestants who lost by not getting the gesture right were still given 1,000 pesos, as well as gift packs from the show's sponsors. More often than not, audience members who participated in the show's segments were asked to share stories about their lives and daily sufferings. The most heart-wrenching ones were usually awarded prizes, such as groceries and livelihood packages, which were added to whatever money they received after playing a certain game. Wow Wow Wee quickly became known for its extravagant prizes, which led to it being marketed as a show for hopeless and impoverished Filipinos who wanted better lives for themselves. With its popularity, however, came controversies, such as the accusation that it exploited poor Filipinos for the sake of entertainment. But this criticism would pale in comparison to the tragedy that unfolded during the show's first anniversary celebration. To celebrate Wow Wow Wee's first anniversary, Willie Revillame and ABS-CBN studio executives decided to host a special program that featured lavish prizes, including jeepneys, taxis, and 1,000,000 pesos in cash. They decided that this special program would be staged at the Ultra Stadium in Pasig City. Ultra stands for University of Life Training and Recreational Arena, but though the stadium had been renamed as the PhilSport Stadium in 1999, it is still often referred to as the Ultra Stadium in relation to this incident, and for the sake of clarity, it will be referred to as such in the story. The Ultra Stadium's maximum capacity is 15,000, which Wow Wow Wee's organizers thought was big enough since studio recordings of the show usually drew only 5,000 people. On the morning of February 4, 2006, however, around 30,000 people had gathered outside the stadium. They came from Metro Manila and nearby provinces, with many of them braving the heat and sleeping on makeshift beds on the sidewalk, hoping to be among the lucky ones to make it inside the venue. The show was scheduled at 1 p.m., and the program was to be at the stadium's basketball arena, though those who couldn't fit in would still be able to watch through a big screen at the football field. There was an entrance for each location, the St. Martin entrance and the LRP gate, and the latter led to the football field for which most of the people were in line. Show organizers began handing out tickets at around 6 a.m., and as soon as the news spread, the crowd became excited and people started trying to get ahead of the others. As those in front of the line were allowed to enter the stadium, those behind grew even more impatient and began pushing people forward. This prompted security guards to panic and shut the entrance gates. Barriers placed to organize the line collapsed when the crowd turned violent, with many resorting to pushing and shoving others in a bid to enter the venue. Security guards tried to seal the gates further and also calm the crowd, but the people ignored their words and instead shook the gates till they were forced open. Because the gates led to an upward sloping driveway, the people at the front collapsed due to exhaustion, causing those behind them to stumble and the stampede to continue forward. Some clung to the posts that supported the roof of the walkway to the LRP gate to avoid getting carried away by the current of bodies. Those in front found themselves either trampled underfoot or crushed against a steel barrier that the organizers had placed to seal off the entrance. Among those in front was a 35-year-old woman named Leni Subaiko, who later recalled being painfully pressed against the barrier. Unable to breathe, she lost consciousness and later woke up under a pile of dead bodies. Fortunately, she managed to survive but sustained horrific injuries to her legs. Another survivor, 42-year-old Mirna Britania, said that the gates were being partially opened then shut, and there were raffle tickets that can be obtained at the gate for a cash prize of 5,000 pesos, so everyone was in a hurry. She recalled seeing the crowd continuing to push forward, not knowing that the people in front were already being trampled to death. The Ultra Stampede, as it soon became known, left 74 dead, including one child, and more than 400 people severely injured. Many of the victims were women and senior citizens who had either been trampled to death or had fainted from exhaustion after being crushed against the stadium's metal gate. Efforts to recover their bodies and provide medical care to the injured were led by the Philippine National Red Cross, ABS-CBN, and local charities affiliated with the network. ABS-CBN's officials held a press conference that same day, where then-Chief Executive Officer Eugenio Gabby Lopez III promised to provide aid and financial assistance to the stampede's victims and their families, and to cooperate with the investigation. The injured were taken to nearby hospitals, which quickly became overwhelmed, forcing some to use their parking lots as makeshift treatment centers. Before long, they were also flooded with people looking for their missing loved ones among the survivors. According to Senator and Philippine National Red Cross Chairman Richard Gordon, most of the injured were not in serious condition, and many had been treated and released. Oddly enough, those who did receive tickets to the show decided to stay inside the Ultra Stadium, hoping that the program would continue despite the deadly stampede. At 1:30 p.m., however, host Willie Revillame went on stage crying as he apologized to the crowd for calling off the show. Newscaster and then Vice President Noli De Castro assisted in directing rescue efforts at the stadium and even led the crowd in a minute of silence in honor of the victims. He then assured them that their tickets would still be valid for Wawawi's anniversary show, which he said would be rescheduled at a later date. Initially, then Pasig City Mayor Vicente Eusebio attributed the stampede to security lapses, saying that the local government could have helped with crowd control had the staff of Wawawi coordinated with them. Many disagreed with him though, which led to then President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo establishing Task Force Ultra, an interagency body that consisted of officials from the National Capital Region Police Office, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Interior and Local Government. After a thorough investigation of the stampede, Task Force Ultra found that Wawawi offered only a few tickets to a very large crowd of people, some of whom had been waiting days to gain entry to the stadium. In the task force's statement, they said that the stampede was triggered by a Wawawi staff member who had announced that only the first 300 people in line in the covered walkway leading to the stadium would be allowed to participate in the show's Pera o Bayong segment. This portion of the show featured cash prizes of up to 50,000 pesos, or around $1,000 in today's money. The announcement agitated the crowd, which caused many outside of the official queue to try shoving their way to the front in hopes of being among the first 300. Seeing this, staff members tried to close the gate in order to control the crowd, but the sloped driveway caused people to stumble and fall. They were then trampled underfoot as those in the back continued pressing forward. Task Force Ultra also confirmed Eusebio's theory that the stampede was caused by a lack of coordination between the local government and Wawawi staff members. According to their findings, neither Eusebio nor Pasig City's chief of police were invited to ABS-CBN's production meetings, which meant that both were in the dark about the show's security plans. This made it impossible for them to develop measures that could have controlled the crowd outside the stadium. There were rumors that the stampede was triggered by someone yelling that there was a bomb, which gave people an even bigger motivation to make it to safety inside the stadium. Task Force Ultra denied this though, saying that they were unable to find any evidence of a bomb threat. In the end, the stampede was blamed on the show's organizers, who had severely underestimated the number of people who would show up at the stadium. This led to the lack of coordination with local police units who could have provided extra security to help control the crowd. Additionally, when the stampede started, rather than contact the police and emergency services, the staff of Wawawi first called ABS-CBN executives to let them know about the incident. This decision, according to investigators, cost the lives of many people who could have been saved had rescuers been immediately alerted. While Task Force Ultra released its official findings to the public, some Filipinos blamed the victims of the stampede, saying that their deaths were caused by their lack of discipline and desperation for instant riches. Many, however, agreed with the investigation's findings that Wawawi's show organizers were to blame. They believed that they should have expected 30,000 people to attend the special program, given that their goal seemed to be to attract and exploit huge crowds of impoverished people for entertainment with their get-rich gimmicks and huge prizes. ABS-CBN denied this though, saying that Wawawi was a public service program that allowed impoverished Filipinos to receive money and start their own livelihoods. According to its production head, Marilu Almaden, quote, "While we had games of luck, our participants certainly weren't beggars, but they, like many of our countrymen, can always use a helping hand. Where it was originally a game show, Wawawi became something that our fans had ownership of. Something like the segment where we give dollars to audience members who tell us jokes, we had fans from overseas who sent money spontaneously. We never solicited any of that. What happened is that we built this community of viewers and participants, which evolved to become public service, a place where even viewers from here and abroad can reach out and help their fellow Filipinos. And it's that spirit that needs to be remembered, I think," end quote. The National Telecommunications Commission, a government agency that supervises radio and TV broadcasting stations and other telecommunication services, said ABS-CBN could lose its license to operate if they were proven delinquent in providing sufficient security measures to protect those who went to the venue. The commission composed an inquiry as to whether the network violated a 1985 circular requiring TV networks, quote, "not to commit any act that would be detrimental to public health, public welfare, or public safety," end quote. In March 2006, the National Bureau of Investigation recommended to the Department of Justice that criminal charges be filed against 17 people, including ABS-CBN executives and Wawawi organizers. Among those who faced possible charges of reckless imprudence resulting in multiple homicide and multiple physical injuries were then-network president Charo Santos Concho, network security chief René Luspo, and Wawawi host Willy Revillame. Administrative charges, meanwhile, were recommended against Pasig City Mayor Eusebio for granting a permit to the show despite the lack of a security plan from show organizers to prevent such a tragedy. In October 2006, the family members of those who died in the incident filed a class action lawsuit against ABS-CBN and the network's CEO. The following year, in 2007, then-DOJ Secretary Raul Gonzalez dismissed the charges against Willy Revillame, saying that he wasn't the proximate cause of the stampede since he was only the show's host. He also pointed out that while Revillame had encouraged people to attend Wawawi's special program, this invitation didn't directly trigger the incident. In January 2008, the Supreme Court ruled with finality, dismissing ABS-CBN's case of junking the investigation by the DOJ. After 2 years of the network's blocking of closure to the event, the DOJ can now indict all of those involved in the stampede except for Revillame. An appeal was filed against DOJ Secretary Gonzalez's prior decision, but it was dismissed in 2010 by then-Justice Secretary Alberto Agra, who agreed with his predecessor that Revillame as the show's host didn't cause the stampede. All other lawsuits filed against ABS-CBN and the event's organizers were settled out of court, which meant that none of them ever faced legal consequences for their involvement in the incident. The Ultra Stampede drew worldwide attention, with major news outlets reporting on the incident. It even made it into the 2007 and 2010 editions of the Guinness World Records, cited as the greatest death toll in a game show. ABS-CBN in 2006 formed 71 Dreams Foundation, named after the initial body count of the Ultra Stampede, with the aim of providing assistance to the victims and their families. In the end, ABS-CBN didn't lose its license to operate because of the incident. WWE was put on an indefinite pause after the tragedy, but it didn't take long for it to be back on air again. On the Stampede's first anniversary, WWE and its rival show Itbulaga both paused their ongoing segments to simultaneously hold a moment of silence in memory of those who died. Though the tragedy didn't seem to affect WWE's ratings, the show aired its final episode on July 30, 2010. The cancellation of the show was reportedly due to controversies unrelated to the tragedy. It was replaced the following day with another variety show called Pilipinas Win na Win, which never managed to gain the same popularity. Pilipinas Win na Win aired its last episode just 5 months after its premiere. ABS-CBN's noontime slot was temporarily filled by a talent show called Showtime, which used to be the lead-in program to WWE. Pilipinas Win na Win's official replacement, Happy Yippie Yehey, premiered on February 12, 2011. It only lasted for a year and was replaced by Showtime's reformatted version, It's Showtime, which, as of this recording, is ABS-CBN's longest-running daily noontime variety show. The Ultra Stadium, on the other hand, had since been the site of many non-tragic events, most notably the 30th Southeast Asian Games in 2019. It was given a major facelift just for this occasion, but though it's referred to these days rightfully as the PhilSport Stadium, it unfortunately will always be the site of the terrible tragedy that was the 2006 Ultra Stampede. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This story was suggested by Carlo Delino through the show's Facebook group. The episode was co-written by Kayla De Leon and was narrated and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.